The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We are up to Simin Kuf Hei, the laws of Tircha, of excessive effort on Chol HaMoed. And for this we need somewhat of an introduction. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa brings down that it is implied from the words of the Chai Adam that any melacha that is forbidden on Chol HaMoed must be associated with the 39 melachas of Shabbos. However, unlike Shabbos or Yom Tov, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, the details of how far we go with what we forbid on Chol HaMoed was given over to the Chachamim of each generation to determine whether or not it should be mutter or aser. Now, one of the explanations for this is that Chol HaMoed has an obligation of simcha. As such, Chazal were afraid that if we engage in work which will detract from our simcha, we will be missing out in this mitzvah. Consequently, they forbade many activities because they said it would limit people's simcha on Chol HaMoed. This would explain why tircha is something which is aser on Chol HaMoed, except for those cases which are exceptions. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa further brings down, in the name of Achronim, that this that we say that there's different types of melacha that are aser on Chol HaMoed, they would even be forbidden even for a very minimal amount. For example, to correct one letter in the Sefer Torah would be forbidden. Even though that doesn't take too much effort, because it's the type of activity which involves effort and it relates to a melacha, so that it is forbidden on Chol HaMoed. In the event something involves great tircha, a lot of effort, so then the poskim say it is even forbidden to do so on Chol HaMoed in cases of davar ha'avid, in cases where someone will experience a significant financial loss. This drives home the point of how seriously Chazal wanted to distance us from tircha on Chol HaMoed. Now, on this basis, Chazal forbade moving things on Chol HaMoed, even if there is no technical melacha that is being violated. So let's see halacha aleph. Asur lahasiya velisa mitautalav uklei besa b'Chol HaMoed. It is forbidden for a person to move and to carry his belongings and the articles of his home on Chol HaMoed, midira shebechatzer zu ledira shebechatzer acheres, from the dwelling in this courtyard to the dwelling in a different courtyard, afilo midira keura ledira noir. This is even forbidden if he's moving from a not nice home to a nicer home. Notice, even though you would say, wow, it's going to give him such simchas yomtif to be moving to a nicer home, nevertheless, it would be forbidden to do so on Chol HaMoed because this would be a case of tircha. Aval mi bayis la bayis bechatzer achas mutar, but it's permissible to move on Chol HaMoed from one home to another in the same courtyard, because that's not something that involves so much effort. V'chein, im shtei hachatzeras smuchas. Similarly, if the two courtyards are adjacent, v'yesh pesach beinehen, and there's an opening between them, mutar lahotzi hachafotzim derech sham. He is allowed to transfer the belongings through that opening, because again, that would not be considered excessive effort. Uvim kom seda, and in situations where there would be monetary loss, mutar afilo me'ir le'ir, then you're always permitted to move, not just from one chatzer to another, but even from one city to another. So let's say, for example, a person is beyond his rental contract, and for every additional day that he stays there, he's being fined a large amount. So he would be allowed to move out from that apartment, because that would be considered a financial loss. V'chein midira she'ena shelo ledira shehi shelo. Similarly, to move from one home which is not his to another home which is his, mutter mishum simchas yomtif. That would be permissible because that's providing true simcha on yomtif. So something which is providing true simchas yomtif, it would be permissible to perform this form of tercha. Shesimcha he lo lador b'dira shishlo, because it's a pleasure to be able to dwell in your own home. So let's get some practical examples of this. If someone is in a rented apartment and they bought their own home and now it's finally ready on Chol HaMoed, it would be mutter for them to move out of the rented apartment in order to go to their own home on Chol HaMoed. Now there's another example that the Shaar HaTzion brings down, and that is someone who's living in a shared dwelling with others and will be moving to his own private dwelling, it's also mutter to do that in Chol HaMoed. So for example, let's say a person has roommates and he's moving out of the roommate apartment to his own private apartment, so the simcha of getting his own private dwelling would allow him to engage in the tircha of moving on Chol HaMoed. Now, of course, there are a lot of details in this halacha, and when it's relevant, it is proper to consult a mora hara, a responsible rav, for guidance. In the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he brings down the tshuva from the Be'er Moshe, who says that in our day, moving is such a big headache, there's so much involved in it, that it would always be a almost like a denigration of Chol HaMoed to move at that time. And therefore, even in these situations where he would be moving to his own home or to a private home, so it would still be forbidden, except in the case when there would be a very significant financial loss. What are the qualifications for this? Again, one would have to consult a posek. Now, this halacha is not limited to a situation where someone is moving all of his belongings. For example, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has paskened that it would be usher to move very heavy items from one place to another unless they are in an unsafe place now and you want to protect them from damage or from theft. So, for example, if you'd want to move a piano from one home to another, that certainly qualifies as being very heavy. And the usher, unless the location of the piano where it is now is one in which it could get damaged. For example, there is a possible flood and you want to move it to a safer, dry area, so then that would be permissible to do in Chol HaMoed. Halacha Beis, im tzarech lahachnis peirosov o shar schora Mipnei shehu yorei mipnei ganovim o mishar hefsid. If someone needs to bring into his home his fruits or other items for sale because he's afraid that they will be stolen or from other forms of damage, kol ma she'efshar la'asos bitzina yaseh, to whatever degree he could do it privately without drawing attention, he should do so. V'im i'efshar la'asos bitzina, and if he can't do it in a private, quiet manner, mutar la'asos afilo b'fahesya, it is permissible to do it even publicly. So as an example of this, if on Chol HaMoed there is a hurricane predicted, it would be permissible to bring in your belongings from outside of the house in order that they shouldn't get damaged. Because, as we said, to prevent a monetary loss, it is permissible to do regular tercha on Chol HaMoed. Now, these are not the only examples of things which would be forbidden because of tercha on Chol HaMoed. There are many other areas which the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch does not discuss. For example, to paint your house or to paint a room on Chol HaMoed is certainly going to be forbidden. To tie a professional knot, which is meant for the long term, on Chol HaMoed would also be aser. However, in the Shmir Shabbos Kil Chasa, he brings down, in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that if the knot is not a professional one, it's possible that it would be permissible to do it on Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, if one is tying the knot, if it's for the purpose of the moed, it's certainly permissible. So, for example, let's say you'd want to tie a knot in order to fix a fishing rod or a fisherman's net in order to catch fish for Yom Tov. So that is certainly permissible. It is brought down in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein that someone who wants to go fishing on Chol HaMoed just for the pleasure of fishing, that would be mutter to do. On the other hand, it is the position of the Be'er Moshe that is usher to fish if it is not expected that the fish will be eaten on the moed. Now, the malacha of hotzah, of transferring things from one domain to another, is not forbidden on Chol HaMoed. Even if there's no moed need to transfer something, it is still perfectly permissible. The same thing is true about cooking and baking on Chol HaMoed. These are among the malachos that Chazal never forbade at all, even if they're not necessary for Yom Tov purposes. There is also no concept of muktzah on Chol HaMoed. And all of the restrictions which are based in the pasuk of Mimtso Chefzecha or David Dover, they do not apply to Chol HaMoed. So, for example, there would be no problem speaking on Chol HaMoed about doing malacha, as long as malacha is not being done. There's no problem on Chol HaMoed speaking about business, even though you may not do so on Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Chol HaMoed, it is permissible. There is also no restriction of separating trumas and maestros and doing hafrashas chala on Chol HaMoed, even if it is not being done for the sake of the chag. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a number of tshuvas in the Igros Moshe in which he deals with modern issues that come up in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. Rav Moshe forbids people to paint their house on Chol HaMoed, even if their goal is to paint it so that the home would look more beautiful for Yom Tov. This would be considered tercha yaseira, be considered excessive effort, and even if it's being done for the purpose of Yom Tov, it is still usher to do on Chol HaMoed. Rav Moshe also discusses a question that a yeshiva student has, who needs to do shopping and he wonders, is he allowed to shop on Chol HaMoed so that he won't have to delay his coming back to yeshiva after Yom Tov? But Moshe says, in this case, it is forbidden to go shopping on Chol HaMoed, and it is preferable to come late to yeshiva and cause more bittul Torah, just so that extra endeavors are not being done on Chol HaMoed. Another psak that Rav Moshe gives is regarding medical examination, that in a situation where it's no emergency, but it just needs to be done on a regular basis, Rav Moshe says it is wrong to schedule such medical exams to be done on Chol HaMoed. Rav Moshe also paskins that it would be forbidden to send your clothes to the dry cleaners on Chol HaMoed, even if it is clothes that are needed for Chol HaMoed or for Yom Tov, because this is considered a Maisa Uman. This is an expert activity, and therefore it would be forbidden to do it on Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, if someone's air conditioner breaks down on Chol HaMoed, it would be permissible to hire someone to fix the air conditioning system so that they could have a more pleasant Yom Tov experience. But Rav Moshe even forbids hammering a nail into the wall on Chol HaMoed if someone wants to hang a picture, even though he is arguing that the picture would beautify his home for Yom Tov. Still, in this case, Rav Moshe says, B'shas HaTzorech, it would be permissible. But normally, you should avoid it. It is unfortunate that so many people do not recognize Chol HaMoed for its true worth. People really should focus on what Chol HaMoed is about and on all of the things that are usher, and they'd be very surprised that really it's much more of a moed than it is Chol. Throughout the laws of Chol HaMoed, one issue that is not discussed in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is whether it is permissible or prohibited to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. In fact, this is something which he discusses briefly way back in Siman Yud, and he mentions that there's a difference of opinion as to whether tefillin should be worn on Chol HaMoed, but he doesn't explain why there is such a machlokes and what is the basis for the disagreement. So this would be an appropriate time to speak about it. There are actually three customs regarding wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. There are those that wear tefillin every day of Chol HaMoed, except for Shabbos, of course. There are those that do not wear tefillin. And then there are those who wear tefillin, but they do not make a bracha on it, which is sort of like a compromised approach. Now, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, everybody knows that we are not allowed to wear tefillin. The Gemara in Menachos has two explanations for this. Either it's because of a Gzeres HaKosov, it's because an implication in the Pasuk, which says that tefillin should be worn miyamim, which means that there are some days that you wear it and some days you don't, and therefore we learn to exclude Shabbos and Yom Tov. Or it is because tefillin is referred to in the Torah as an os, as a sign, and the Braisa tells us that one only wears tefillin on those days when you'd be required to have an os. But Shabbos and Yom Tov are themselves an os, and therefore it is unnecessary to wear tefillin on those days. Now, according to many Rishonim, Chol HaMoed has the same din as Yom Tov in this regard. And when we find that the Gemara is excluding Yom Tov, it is also coming to exclude Chol HaMoed, even though that is not said explicitly in the Gemara. Basically, Chol HaMoed itself is considered a moed, is considered part of Yom Tov, and therefore, as an os, it should be exempt from tefillin. This is the position of the Bahag, and it's quoted in Tosfos and Moed Katan. Now, the position of the Rosh and the Arzarua is that we are obligated to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and they said because Chol HaMoed does not constitute an os. As far as the prohibition to do malach on Chol HaMoed, perhaps they would say that min haTorah it is mutter. It's only din derabanan not to do malacha chol hamoed, which itself is a machlokis. So you see that min haTorah it's not considered a time to abstain from malacha, and therefore it does not constitute yom tov. One of their rayas, one of their proofs that you could wear tefillin in chol hamoed, is that the Gemara says that it's permissible to write tefillin in chol hamoed. They said, certainly Chazal would not have allowed us to write tefillin if you would not be allowed to wear tefillin then. Now the Torah brings down that since it's a machlokes, it's unclear whether we should be wearing tefillin in chol hamoed or not, well, it's a mitzvah min haTorah to wear tefillin, and therefore we should wear it. But as far as the bracha is concerned, he said we should paskin safek brachas lahakel. We should not make brachas in situations of doubt, and therefore we should not make a bracha on wearing tefillin on chol hamoed. So in practice, Svaradim follow the Beis Yosef that paskins that one should not wear tefillin on chol hamoed. The Ramah, on the other hand, brings down that the minig is among Ashkenazim that we do wear tefillin in chol hamoed, and we even say the brachas. But he adds that we should say the brachas quietly. However, the position of the Vilna Gaon was that it is also to wear tefillin in chol hamoed. And this is what's practiced today in Israel. It's considered universally accepted that in Eretz Yisrael, one does not wear tefillin in chol hamoed. Now, it should be mentioned that the poskim point out, in the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, that if you're davening in a shul where the minhag of the congregation is not to wear tefillin, it is usur for you to put on tefillin because it is considered a violation of lo tiskodedu, as if you're making separate groups, certain factions within the community, and that would be usur to do. But otherwise, everyone should follow the minhag of their family, whether to wear tefillin or not, and whether to say a bracha or not.